You're listening to a sermon from Christian Life, the Island Church, in Orange Beach, Alabama. For more information, visit christianlifechurch.tv.
Well, we are in a covenant series. The first week, we talked about covenant relationship, and God always does His part when we do our part. That God keeps His word, and we establish the foundation that God's promises are, say it with me, yes, yes, and God's not fickle. It's not yes one day, no the next. God keeps His word. He watches over His word to perform it. And so He has offered us everything that He has, and all He asks is that we give Him everything we have. And we laid a foundation. Then last week we started in this message and laid the foundation for blood covenant. And in talking about blood covenant, here's what we're talking about. We're talking about the theme of the entire Bible. It has to do with blood covenant. And as we illustrate what happened with a man named Jonathan and David and Jonathan's son, Mephibosheth, we see a picture of what happened on the cross of Calvary. And this morning, we'll look at that in more detail. In talking about a blood covenant was an unbreakable partnership between two people who greatly loved and greatly trusted one another. See, that is the difference right there. Love and trust is the difference, covenant, between covenant and contract. Marriage is a covenant. It's based on love and trust. We have contracts today, not because we love and trust. Why do we have contracts in the world? Because of lack of trust. To make sure that people keep their end of the bargain. But see, in marriage, in relationship, it's not contract, it's covenant. It's based out of love and it's based out of trust. If you don't have trust, you don't have love. There's not much there in that marriage because it's built off of trust and love. Covenant relationship. Well, we shared this story about a man named David and a man named Jonathan. They were friends. I'm just going to paraphrase this quickly to lay that foundation. They were friends. Jonathan is the son of King Saul. And he loved David. And in 1 Samuel 18, verses 1 through 4, you see this relationship, how Jonathan loved him as his own soul. And they made a covenant. They were friends. They made this covenant. And in covenant relationship, they exchanged their possessions, coats. They exchanged articles of war, if you will, a spear, a shield, armor. Possessions mean what I have is yours, armor, all the pieces of war to exchange that I'm going to fight for you and you're going to fight for me. And then they exchanged the very person. They exchanged blood. They made an incision and they put their arms together and clasped together to say, we are in covenant. We're exchanging blood. We become blood brothers. Well, that's what happened to David and Jonathan. They made a blood covenant relationship. Now, King Saul starts off loving David. David lives in the palace. He would play his harp. He would sing. And Saul was, he was harassed, had a hard time. And so it would soothe his heart. But as time would pass, he began to become jealous of David. And then comes the battle with the Philistines, and David kills Goliath. And that caused even further trouble in their relationship. Because all the young girls, the maidens came out and they were singing you know, Saul has killed his thousands, but David has killed his 10,000. And so here's what King Saul does. He sets out a decree and he tells everyone in his kingdom, kill David. Jonathan hears this, and Jonathan tells his friend, blood covenant friend, my father wants to kill you, so you better hide. He committed treason, dishonored, if you will, but see, blood covenant was even greater than family blood. We know from Scripture, there is a friend that sticks closer than a brother. Blood covenant, blood relationship. So, Saul, one juncture, threw a spear, tried to pin David to the wall. David ran, hid, was hunted like a wild animal, if you will. Saul's decree, kill David, kill David, kill David. There's a whole lot that happened during that time. There's a whole nother message because one time David and Saul had an encounter. Saul didn't even realize in a cave when David could have taken his life, but he didn't. He honored him as king. That's a whole nother part of this story. So there's another battle that now happens with the Philistines. And when this happens, Jonathan, who's made a blood covenant with David, Jonathan gets killed. Saul, King Saul, is about ready to be killed. He doesn't want to be captured and tortured, so he asks for his sword. He falls on the sword, and he kills himself. At that juncture, David, who as a shepherd boy was anointed king, now becomes the king of Israel. Time has passed. David's no longer a 13, 14-year-old boy that's out on the backside of the of Palestine herding sheep. He's now a grown man, and he's now the king. He makes this decree. He says, is there anyone left of the house of Saul that I might show him kindness for Jonathan's sake? Is there anyone left of the house of Saul? And I probably, when he got to that juncture, anyone left of the house of Saul, people thought, I wondered when thunder was coming down. They hunted him, they wanted to kill him, and now he's gonna kill anyone connected with King Saul. They didn't get it. So I may show him kindness. Is there anyone left of the house of Saul that I may show him kindness? See, there's two attitudes I want us to remember that are attitudes of covenant relationship. One of those attitudes is loving kindness. David said, thy loving kindness is better than life. Loving kindness. Remember, covenant relationship has to do with love and trust. In marriage, there should be love and there should be kindness. Someone say amen. And that's how God treats us. God's not treated us according to our sin. He's shown mercy and grace. His forgiveness is his loving kindness in our life. Loving kindness through the Bible is a covenant word. And then there's another word, and it's friend. And the Bible tells us Abraham was a friend of God. Israel was started, the Jewish people, it all started with a covenant that God made with Abraham and said, I'm going to bless you and you are going to be a blessing. Well, loving kindness and friendship, deeper meanings. We went into all that last week. And so deeper meaning. So now David is saying, is there anyone left in the house of Saul that I might show him kindness? There's this guy named Ziba. He's privy to some information. And he says, yeah, Saul has a grandson, Jonathan's son. And he lives in Lodebar, which is a barren land. Nothing can grow there. He lives on the backside of the desert. And David says, go and get him. Mephibosheth is brought. He has to be brought. Mephibosheth is crippled. When Saul was killed and the kingdom was in turmoil, the people knew there was going to be change. And so they start to leave the palace. They're running. They're grabbing everything they can grab. The nurse picks up little Mephibosheth, Jonathan's grandson, Mephibosheth. Can we say that together? Mephibosheth. You know, I thought Freddie Franks was tough. Try Mephibosheth. You can get a lot of nicknames out of that one, I'm sure. Apparently, she fell on him. He was crippled in his feet. So he's a crippled boy living on the backside of the desert. They bring him. He falls before the king, thinking that he's going to kill him because he's a part of Saul's family. And his grandfather had tried to kill David. So now he thinks David's going to try to kill all of us. And David says, "Don't fear. I'm going to show you kindness because of your father, Jonathan. And I'm going to bring you to my table and you're going to become one of my sons." And I'm sure Mephibosheth wondered in his mind, "This is not what I was expecting. I expected death. This is unreal. I'm going to be brought into the palace. I'm going to have a comfortable bed. I'm going to have water to drink, to wash. I'm going to have food." That's just scratching the surface of what was going to be provided for him. What I just gave you in just a small window is a picture of the blood covenant that happened on the cross of Calvary. It is an Old Testament picture of Calvary. This morning, I want to talk to you. I want to show you what that covenant, blood covenant relationship means to us. And parallel it with what happened with David and Jonathan and Mephibosheth. You see, how does it affect us as Christians this morning? I want to tell you this. The blood covenant is the Bible. It has everything to do with our relationship with God. So let's jump into this. If you weren't here last week, I encourage you to go back and to listen. I was able to describe it. I felt a little bit in the early service. It was different than second service, and that's the one that we put on our podcast. So you might want to listen to that to get all the foundation that we laid concerning this blood covenant between David and Jonathan, which extended to Mephibosheth. Now, this morning, let's jump into this. Do you know that the Bible is divided into two parts? Old Testament, New Testament. I know you know that. Another way of saying that is Old Covenant and New Covenant. Do you know that the word covenant and testament and covenant are the same word? So the Bible is divided into the Old Covenant and to the New Covenant. Look at this passage of Scripture in Psalm chapter 25 and verse number 14. It says, "The friendship of the Lord." Remember, friendship is a covenant word. It's not shallow, like dear friend, hey friend, just met someone, my new best friend. We're talking about covenant relationship. The friendship of the Lord is for those who fear him, and he makes his covenant, or he makes known to them his covenant. It's those who fear him. He will make known his covenant. Now listen to me. If you love the Lord and you know the Lord. We sang about it. That second song today. I love that song. Luke wrote that. Really, Luke didn't write that. King Solomon wrote that. Luke just put the music to it. Every one of those words is in your Bible. And he says, he's talking about, "I know the Lord. I trust the Lord, I fear the Lord, and He'll provide the spark. See, covenant living is about us living for God. It's about us obeying, saying yes to Jesus and obeying. I'm going to say this toward the end of the message. We've got a cockeyed idea in American Christianity, and it's this: you can live however you want and have the blessing of God. And I'm here to tell you, it doesn't work that way. Obedience brings blessing. Disobedience, everybody wants to disobey and then have God's blessing. Disobedience brings consequences. Break the law and you're going to pay. That's how it is. And how can we say, I break the law and now I want God to bless me? No, you obey so you can have the blessing. The willing and obedient eat the good of the land. Somebody say amen. That's how God works. So, when we are in friendship with God, we fear, we respect, we honor, we obey God, then here's what happened. He shows us His covenant. The whole word is this covenant relationship. What happened to David and Jonathan and Mephibosheth is the most incredible illustration of what happens to us when we become a child of God. See, 2,000 years ago on the cross, the Lord Jesus entered into a blood covenant with God the Father on your behalf on the cross of Calvary. And when Jesus died on that cross, He entered that blood covenant. Look at Luke chapter 22 and verse number 20. It says, and likewise the cup, after they had eaten, saying, the cup is poured out for you in the, say it with me, in the new covenant, in my, say it one more time, in the new covenant, in my blood. See, when we take the Lord's Supper, the blood, the cup, which represents the blood of the Lord, it's speaking of blood covenant. You've heard me say this before. The blood backs every promise in the Word of God. Why? It's blood covenant. And God can't lie. He keeps His Word. The blood backs the Word of God. And so, the cup in my new covenant shed for you. When Jesus died on the cross, He was making a blood covenant with God the Father. Remember, a covenant, there's the mingling of blood. There's a mingling of blood. And then there would be the mark of the covenant. People could see you were in covenant. They would put a powder on there. It'd make it a dark spot. The mark of the covenant. When Jesus died on the cross of Calvary, died on the cross, there was a covenant established. And folks, today, there's the mark of the covenant. There's the nails in His hand that speaks of the mark of the covenant that He made. Amen? When we see Jesus, like He did to Thomas, put your hands in my hands. You'll see the mark. This is the covenant that I made with you. Well, what kind of blood did Jesus shed on the cross? Was it human blood? Absolutely. Was it divine blood? Beyond a shadow of a doubt. See, in a strange way, the blood of God and the blood of man were mingled on the cross of Calvary. There was a covenant between God and man. See, Jesus was the God-man. He was 100% God, as if He were no man. And He was 100% man, as if He were not God at all. He was the God-man. There was never one like Him. There'll never be another one like Him. And when Jesus died on the cross of Calvary, He made an immutable, unbreakable, everlasting covenant between the sons of man and Almighty God. What Jesus Christ did on the cross of Calvary, the covenant that was established, was so that we might be in relationship, we might be forgiven, so that we might be a part of the family of God. Jonathan is a picture of Jesus in this story. Mephibosheth is a picture of you and me before we've been redeemed, before we've been regenerated, before we have become saved. It's a picture of us as sinners. I want to show you this. Mephibosheth was an enemy by birth. He was born into the wrong family, the wrong household. He was the household of Saul. We are an enemy by birth. Because of sin in the garden, we are born into sin. We are born natural enemies of God. We have to be redeemed. We have to be saved. So we're born an enemy of God because sin, and we're born into sin. We all understand every one of us are born into sin. We get that, right? So we're born enemies of God. Mephibosheth was crippled by a fall. So we have been crippled by a fall. In the Garden of Eden, we were spiritually, morally crippled. No hope. No hope. Crippled by a fall. Mephibosheth couldn't come on his own to the Lord, to the king. He was unable to respond by himself. Folks, we are unable. There are people who somehow have the idea, I went looking for God. If you had that idea, it's the grace of God that he put in you to even do that. Because we don't go looking for God. He came looking for us. He came out of heaven. He's the one who knocks on our heart door. We don't have enough sense to go to God. We live in rebellion. We want to do what we want to do. If there's any inkling, it's already God working in us, drawing us. He came to seek and save that which is lost. Mephibosheth couldn't get there on his own. He had to have somebody bring him. We come to the Father through Jesus Christ. Mephibosheth was living in exile. He was meant to be a king. He was meant to reign, but he lost his inheritance. You and I were meant to be kings. We were meant to reign. Oh yeah, you know this. God made us to have dominion over this earth. God gave Adam dominion over the animals, the beasts, over the entire earth, but sin caused us to lose dominion. He ends up in Lodabar. We end up in a spiritual Lodabar. No pasture, living on the backside of nowhere. Mephibosheth was under the sentence of death. He deserved death. The reality is, we all do. People say, in arrogance, people say, they demand their rights. I deserve. Don't ever pray that. Thank God he doesn't give us what we deserve. Because you know what you deserve? You know what I deserve? Hell. That's what we deserve. Hell. Death. Man, Mephibosheth understood, I don't deserve this. He called himself nothing but a dead dog. Interesting language. I mean, how could you look upon such a dead dog? Amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. That's who we were. He sees it. I'm a dead dog. Mephibosheth thought that David was his enemy when in reality David was his friend. So what you have is a picture of every man, woman, boy, and girl. It's a picture of being deformed and dethroned, doomed and deceived. That's who Mephibosheth was, and that's who we are. Here's what I want to tell you today. God is not your enemy. Listen to me, because most people don't believe that. Still, people say, why did God let this happen? Why did this happen to my son or my daughter? Why? And it's always God's fall. And people don't realize we live in a broken world. God's the answer to overcoming. But there is a devil, there is an enemy that comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But yet in the midst of knowing there's a devil and knowing he wants to do nothing but destroy our life, we'll say, but God, it's your fault. God's not your problem. God wants to be your friend. How can you keep saying, God, you did it. You let me down. You did it. It's your fault. It's not God's fault. Somebody get with me here. God is extending friendship, a blood covenant, the blessings of abundance and victory. That's what Mephibosheth received. And that is what is available to you and I through the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The question is, will we reject it or will we receive it? Will we ratify it or will we run from it? Will we go out of this place and live the same old way that we've always lived? See, when you ratify the covenant, when you say yes to Jesus, how do you ratify it? You receive Jesus Christ and you obey. Remember what I said at the outset? You obey. You can't live however you want. You come into alignment with his word. See, that's the issue with American Christianity. Everybody wants to hear a message on prosperity, 5 ways to make my marriage work, 10 ways that I can have better finance, how I can have more peace, how I can live in harmony, how I can sleep better. Everybody wants to have steps. They want a form, but they don't want a relationship. And a relationship has to do, if you obey my commandments, you're my friends. When we do our part, God always wants his part. I'm going to tell you, we've created a humanistic form of religion that literally leaves God out, and we've come up with some psychobabble that we think is spiritual when it's nothing but a bunch of hogwash. Listen to me. I'm trying to help you to be blessed. Amen? I want to help you to be blessed. And it's through receiving Jesus and it's through obeying. Everybody say obey. Amen. Amen. Okay. David knew what he was talking about. He understood the depth of this covenant. See, he knew, when he's dealing with Mephibosheth, he knew he was alive because Jonathan had let him know his father was going to kill him. He was alive because of Jonathan's commitment to him in covenant relationship. And just as Jonathan gave himself for David, now David is giving himself for Mephibosheth. David understands this covenant relationship. He knows how deep it goes because a little bit later in life, David really messes up. David commits murder and he commits adultery. And he lived in that sin and he justified it and he covered it up for a year until the man of God came and knocked on his door. And finally, David said, I'm the man. It's me. And we see David's prayer of repentance in Psalm 51. And in Psalm 51, here's what David said. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your, say it with me, loving kindness. Here's what he's saying. God, I disobeyed. I sinned. So I'm coming back into obedience. And according to your loving kindness, you're a covenant God, so I'm coming back to obey. Have mercy. Have mercy upon me. See, because of the blood covenant God and Jesus made at the cross, we have forgiveness. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us. Psalm 85 and verse 2, you forgave the iniquity of your people and you covered their sin. Selah, we know this, 2 Corinthians 5, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things pass away, all things become new. Let me show you these verses side by side. 2 Samuel 9:1. 2 Samuel 9:1, and it says this, and David said, is there anyone left of the house of Saul that I may show him kindness Say this with me. For Jonathan's sake. David showing kindness for Jonathan's sake. Now look at that in comparison to Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 32. It says, be kind, tenderhearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. Say it with me, as God in Christ. David, for Jonathan's sake. God in Christ forgave you as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. You got kindness for Jonathan's sake. You got God for Christ's sake. Here it is. What did Mephibosheth receive from David? What do we receive from God in blood covenant? Number one is this. Here's what Mephibosheth received. Here's what we receive. He received the king's forgiveness. 2 Samuel 9:7. And David said to him, do not fear, I will show you kindness. How many are glad that God showed kindness? That's forgiveness. He showed kindness. He didn't judge me according to my sin. I am thankful to God he didn't judge me according to my sin. He received the king's forgiveness. When we come into blood covenant, what do we receive? We receive forgiveness. It's part of blood covenant. Thank you, Lord, for forgiving my... How many are glad your sins are forgiven? That's what you receive in blood covenant. Here's the second thing you receive. You receive the king's fellowship. I would put / friendship. I put down fellowship, but the more I look at it, I think friendship goes even deeper. 2 Samuel 9, verse 7. And David said to him, do not fear, I will show you kindness for the sake of your father Jonathan. I will restore to you all the land of Saul your father, and you shall eat at my table always. 2 Samuel 9:11. It says, the last part, so Mephibosheth ate at David's table like one of the king's son. 2 Samuel 9:13, it says, the last part, for he ate always at the king's table. Now, he was lame in both of his feet. And in verse number 10, that's not up there, it says, but Mephibosheth, thy master's son, shall eat always at my table. I don't know how big this boy was, but he did a lot of eating. Four times the scripture feels it's important for us to know that he ate at the king's table. He ate at the king's table. Listen, eating together in the Bible is a lot different than the way we look at it. It was one of the highest acts of intimacy there was. See, when the Bible says, thou preparest, when David said, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies, that was a miracle thing because you didn't eat with your enemies. You ate with your friends. It was an intimate act. He's saying there's intimacy, extreme closeness, there's fellowship. Can I tell you something? This is the incredible miracle. It's the love of my life. It's fellowship with God. It's friendship with God. Listen now, forgiveness is not the best part of salvation. It is a necessary part of salvation. But forgiveness isn't the best part of salvation. If you just get forgiven, no, it's not just getting forgiven. It's about getting into fellowship. God is my friend. He walks with me and he talks with me and he tells me I'm his own. We have fellowship. He speaks into my ear through his word. He leads and guides my steps. He's a friend that sticks closer than a brother. Somebody say amen. That's what we receive in blood covenant relationship. And so we have forgiveness and we have fellowship. Then we have this. We have the king's fortune, or rather it might be better to understand his provision. In 9 and 10, it says, the king called Ziba, Saul's servant, and said to him, all that belonged to Saul and to his house has been given to your master, which was Saul, to his grandson. It goes on to say Ziba's 15 sons and his 20 servants are going to take care of Mephibosheth, and he's going to have everything that belonged to him, and he is going to have more. Folks, when you get saved, you come into the Lord's fortune. Come on now. You come into the Lord's provision. We live like paupers. We live like God's not able. We beg God like, maybe if you can, would you come through? I know I'm not good, and we do all, when in reality we are. My kids never came to me. Luke never came to me and said, oh, my Father, my great and mighty Father, how awesome art thou, my Father. I plead with thee, my Father, just for $10 that I might traverse down to the ice cream shop just to get some ice cream. He never did that. He said, Dad, what's going on? How about 10 bucks? Let's get some ice cream. My Father is a provider for his children. Amen. Yes. Yes. All that he has. You say, well, I didn't get 15 sons and 20 servants to take care of me. You got something better. You got ministering angels to help watch out over you. Amen. You have the Holy Spirit to empower you. Amen. Listen, it gets even better. Not only forgiveness, not only fellowship and friendship, not only the provision of God, but you can't get better than family. You can't get better than family. And the Bible says this, and Ziba said to the king, according to all that my lord, the king commands his servant, so will your servant do. So Mephibosheth ate at David's table like one of the king's sons. He became family. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe in his name. I am a son of God. I'm an heir of God and a joint heir with Jesus Christ. Come on, I'm a son of God. Sons and daughters of God, say amen. We're a part of the family of God. I know I'm adopted in. He tells us how we get into this family. We're adopted in. But he never refers to me as his adopted son. He refers to me as his child. As his son. Somebody say amen. Listen, Pastor Matt and Paige just adopted Sam. Paige the other day, she said, Daddy, she said, I don't tell people this is my adopted son. I just tell people this is my son. You know what? I don't tell people this is my adopted grandson. He's my son. And I'm gonna tell you this, all the Franks family, anything that I have to pass on to Luke and to Paige and to Freddie and to Ida, it's the same to Sam. He is my family. We are the family of God. Amen. It's good to be in the family. Why wouldn't everyone want to be in covenant relationship? Blood covenant relationship. But you know what happens as soon as you start talking this? As soon as you start claiming this? You know, the meek shall inherit the earth. Thank God I'm inheriting the earth. I'm an heir of God and a joint heir with Jesus Christ. And when that dawns on me and I hear it, and here's what happens. You'll say, oh, I don't deserve that. Mephibosheth could have said, I don't deserve that. He accepted it. We say, I don't deserve that. And as soon as you say, I don't deserve that, guess what? The devil will saddle up beside you and say, you're right. You don't deserve it. And can I tell you something? Don't get in an argument with the devil on that one, because you'll lose, because you don't deserve it. But God says you're worthy. And so let God pick up that fight with the devil, and you know who's going to win that one. Amen? Amen. Because by the blood of Jesus, we are worthy. Blood covenant. Blood covenant. What a friend I have in Jesus. Blood covenant. Fellowship. Friendship. Forgiveness. All his provision. I am in the family. Forever changed. Mephibosheth, what's it say? He was there always. It wasn't a one time. That's where he lived. And that's where God's calling us to live. Now, here's the deal. What are you going to do with this? Have you said yes to Jesus? Are you here this morning and you've never received Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior? Or maybe as a kid, you went to a camp or a day of vacation Bible school and you got saved and you think you're okay, but you've lived like the devil since then. And you know you need to get right with God. Now listen to me. When I ask people, do they know Jesus? What I get most of the time is, I'm Baptist. I'm going to tell you something. It's not about being Baptist or Pentecostal. It's not about being Jewish. It's not about being Catholic. It's not about being an Episcopalian, Presbyterian. It is your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Have you said yes, and are you obeying? Have you said yes, and are you following? If we confess with our mouth the Lord, obedience, Lord Jesus, believe in our heart, God raised Jesus from the dead. So number one, there's some folks here today that need to come into the covenant. You need to receive Christ. Number two, there's some folks today, you've confessed Jesus as Lord and Savior, but you're not living in obedience. You're living however you want, and you have the idea that you can live how you want, that you can set your own rules, that the word doesn't apply to you, that the law doesn't apply to you, that you're above and you're better. Somehow you're above it all. And you live in an arrogance, you live in a religious mind, you live as though it's really a stench in the nostrils of God. I'm going to tell you why. Self-righteousness is a stench to God. That's what the book of Isaiah tells us. And you claim to know God, but you don't obey Him. You're not faithful to God. You're not involved. You're not a part of the church. You claim to know God, but yet you run your life. You run your mouth. You treat your wife with disdain. You talk down. You undermine. You treat her as if she's something less. You talk to your family. You treat your family in way. You're not honest in your work. You'll cheat to make a dollar. There's people who name the name of Christ, but they live a life of hypocrisy. They live a life that's sub to what the Word of God, the Bible says, the willing and obedient. Don't think you can get by with this and somehow have the blessing of God. You can't have it, honey. It doesn't work that way. Here's how the Word of God works: the willing and obedient. Love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. We love God and we love whatever else we want to do in life. Listen, everything. You said, Pastor, that's awful hard. I have a few years in this world. I have a few years to pastor this church. What I do in this world is going to make a mark for eternity. We live here 60, 70, 80, 90, 100 years, but we're going to live there forever. How we can live for self, how we can live so self, how we can come up with this unrealistic idea of what true Christian, read your Bible. Read the part of the Bible you haven't underlined yet. Because you're probably just believing what you underlined. The rest of it's the truth too, amen? Read it. Obey it and be blessed. Listen, I love this. This gets in me. I get up in the morning. The first thing I do, good morning, Lord, in my mind, I tell that girl right there, I love you. I do it every morning. Is that right, baby? I love you. And then I'm going through, God, I'm partnering with you. I'm not asking you to come partner with me. I think one of the craziest things in the world, I don't care how many million you have, it's measly compared to the kingdom of God. And for us to say, God, come and bless my measly million. God, I don't care. I want to be a part of something that's going to last forever. I want to be a part of kingdom. Amen? Yeah. How can I say, God, come and bless what I'm doing? No, I want to get in on what God's doing. Wherever God's at, that's what I want. I want to be a part. How's that happen? Obedience, covenant relationship.